According to the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, Americans spent more than $16 billion on cosmetic surgery in the year 2016. According to a study from sports and nutrition company MyProtein, the cost of living a healthy lifestyle can cost more than a college education. The average American spends $155 a month on health and fitness. That's $112,000 over the course of a lifetime. Now, we humans relish seeing ourselves in the best light possible. Now, don't get me wrong, I celebrate this newfound energy to care for and strengthen the body God has given me. But under the radar screen is this need, this near obsession to look good and to appear young at any cost. One of life's most difficult moves is to be honest with ourselves and, strangely so, honest with God. By all appearances, the two people we meet in today's parable could not have been more different from each other. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. One, the Pharisee. He was the standard bearer for all that was moral, righteous, and devout among the Jewish faithful of Jesus' day. Maligned by some, feared by others, the Pharisees were laymen who devoted all their energies to keeping life as holy as possible. They protected the law to the nth degree, observing and expecting others to observe the most demanding requirements of the faith. To say Pharisee was to invoke an image of moral severity and religious purity. Now, the other person in this parable was a tax collector. Tax collectors in Jesus' day, not unlike our own, were not high on the most popular list of persons in society. In this part of the Roman world, folks viewed tax collectors as collaborators who had sold their souls to the pagan Romans. They fleeced their own people of money, destined to line the pockets of the despised Romans. To say that these two men were viewed differently by the man and woman in the street would be the height of understatement. So the Pharisee stands by himself and appears to be praying to God. Actually, he's having a conversation with his own ego. Did you notice how many times he used the pronoun I? 5 times in this brief but self-centered prayer. He gives God an abundance of information that God already knows and doesn't really need. Contrast the Pharisee's prayer to the simple one-sentence petition offered by the tax collector. He stood off at a distance, and heaven didn't even raise his eyes and beat his breast and prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. No ego in this prayer, none, far from it. With uncommon candid candor, he knows the great need of his life is not for God's approval of his deeds, but for God's mercy on his soul. Well, according to Jesus, the tax collector who went up to the temple went down from the holy city justified. And why? Well, in this simple story, God seems to be saying appearance has little to do with what we see in the mirror, or everything to do with who God sees us to be. Bragging on our own self-defined acts of righteousness or using our definition of being religious mean nothing to God. When God looks at you and me, God sees us as persons made in God's image, period. We are not viewed by God as better because we are religious, or worse, because we are profane. God neither delights in the things that make us proud, nor does God condemn us with the things that leave us broken. God sees beyond our resumes, our makeup, and our well-rehearsed social games. And here is the amazing thing. God knows us as we are, and God loves us anyway. For those of you who have children and or grandchildren, tell me, do you love your offspring because they are smart, good-mannered, handsome, beautiful, talented, moral, or religious? Of course not. Rather, you love your sons and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters, even your brothers and sisters, because of who you and they are. The word unconditional is woven into the very fabric of what it means to love a member of your family. For some reason, as religious and moral as he was, the Pharisee in the parable never got that message. For reasons we will never know, he believed that God approved him because of all the things he did to merit God's approval, not for the love and grace that is the very nature and character of God. So when have you found yourself making the Pharisee's mistake of comparing yourself with others to spotlight your own virtue? When have you felt most humbled? C.S. Lewis wrote this, that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. So let's be honest. Sometimes when we pray, we are like the Pharisee, and other times we are like the tax collector. We're like the Pharisee when we presume we are in right relation with God and others and refuse to acknowledge truthfully our own failings and weaknesses. We are like the tax collector when we acknowledge who we really are and recognize our need for God's mercy. Although he may have lived a wretched, vile life, his attitude revealed an awareness of God's mercy that changed his future, making it radically different from his past. As people of faith, we would be wise ever to be on guard against all forms of showy, self-centered piety. Near the end of his letter today, St. Paul to Timothy gave credit to Jesus for the strength afforded him, and he wrote, "I have competed well, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." As we run the race of faith, and follow our Lord, we do so limping, stumbling, groping toward mercy, believing at the end of the day, God's grace will triumph over our human folly and sin. God does have mercy on sinners. And for that reason alone, we, like this tax collector, can leave this place of worship today justified. And we can say, thanks be to God.